Call your attention tonight to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and the first six verses read, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions.
If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's a very comforting verse, isn't it? Let not your heart be troubled. There are so many things that we are troubled about in this life. But God, Jesus here tells us, believe in me, trust me, and everything will be fine. I want you to be where I am. Were the apostles going to be troubled? Yes, they were going to be troubled on many accounts. Troubled at the persecution that they would receive, troubled at false doctrines that would arise, trouble about brethren who no longer would be faithful. Yes, they would be troubled about many things. But Jesus is telling them to continue with Him, to follow Him, that regardless of what might trouble them, that they should follow Him. You know the way. And Thomas says, "We don't know where you're going. Why are you going away? Where are you going?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus wants us to be with Him here in this life and hereafter. And we need to realize that in order for us to be with Him here and hereafter, we must be as He is. We must be in the way with Him. We must be in the truth with Him. We must be in the life with Him, living the life that the way of truth teaches us. So I'd like to focus on those three things tonight. Where I am, there you may be also. Are you where Jesus is? To be where Christ is, we must be in the way with Christ. We look at some passages of Scripture here. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, it says, "He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives and make intercession for them." Which way was, where was Jesus going? Where was He on the way to? He was on the way to the Father. Isn't it comforting to know that we can be on the way to the Father also? We can come to God through Him. We can go where Jesus was going. In Hebrews 10 and verses 19 through 25, it said, "Brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." It's all one sentence. And it takes some stopping and thinking and analyzing what He's talking about. If you're not familiar with the type and the antitype that He's dealing with here, He's using the type of the tabernacle, the type of the temple that was divided into the holy place and the most holy place, or the holiest, which of course represented the presence of God and to be in the presence of God. Notice He says, "Brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." The high priest once a year would enter into the holiest with an atonement sacrifice for the people. He's not saying not only has the high priest, Jesus, entered into the holiest, he says you can enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way, let us draw near with a true heart. That way was made possible through the veil of His blood. We enter into the presence of God, having our hearts sprinkled or separated. When you sprinkle water, you separate water. And that's what he's talking about there. He's saying, have your heart separated from an evil conscience. And your body's washed with pure water. The priest, the high priest, of course, was obligated. Part of the ritual was that he would go through a washing, a cleansing, before he would offer atonement for the people. Well, we go through a cleansing, don't we, in baptism. And that's what he's talking about here. So he's using that type and the fact that the church is the antitype and making it clear that we don't enter into a type of the holiest and the representative of heaven. We enter into the true. We enter into a relationship with God. And we become the temple of God, the dwelling place of God. He dwells in our hearts, and we dwell in Him. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. God is faithful. You can trust what the commitment that God has made to you. He's going to keep His promise. Now, you made a promise. You made a promise to separate your hearts from an evil conscience. You made a promise to come into the presence of Almighty God and to be in fellowship with Him. Now be true to that promise. That's what he's saying. Let us consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. In Matthew 18 and verse 20, Jesus said, "Where two or more gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So not only when we assemble together as brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is saying He's assembled with us too. Because He is where we are. We are where He is, you see. We're in the way with Him, on the way to the Father. Exhort one another. Warn, encourage one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. That day of His coming is approaching. It is sure, it is certain. He has said that He will come again, and He is faithful. He will keep that promise. He will come in judgment to judge each one of us, as we've noticed this morning. Let's exhort one another, encourage one another. Let's be in the way with Him while we're on our way to the Heavenly Father. In Matthew 7 and verse 14, Jesus said, "Narrow is the gate, difficult is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." Jesus was in that way. He is the way. He is that narrow way that leads to life. Let's be in that life with Him. Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." Are we abiding in His authority? Are we appealing to His word of truth? Whatever the Bible says, that's what we're going to do. That's the way we're going to live. Colossians 3 and verse 17 says, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of or by the authority of the Lord," the one who is in authority. Who is that? Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Jesus is the way. He's the authority. He's the high priest. He's the sacrifice. He is the way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through Him. But if we're in Him and we're walking in Him, we are in fellowship with Him and with the Father. We're in the way that He would have us to be in. And we can rejoice in that. To be where Christ is, we must be in the truth, because He is the truth. John chapter 1, in the first three verses, we're told, "In the beginning," that means the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Continues to go on and talk about the Word and who He is and what He is and what He accomplished. And come down to verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus said, "I am the truth." He is the Word of God made flesh and dwelt amongst us. He is full of truth. How much error is in Him? How much deception is in Christ? How many lies has Jesus told us? No, He is full of truth. I mean, truth only. And we need to let the fullness of His truth dwell in us. In John chapter 8, and verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on Him, "If you abide in My Word, if you live in My Word, if you continue in My Word, if you continue to live according to My Word, you are My disciples indeed." Or we could say, "You are My true disciples. If you abide in My Word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Where do you find the truth? You find it in the Word of God. Jesus would pray to His Father and say, concerning the apostles, He says, "Sanctify through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." If we want to walk in the truth with Christ, we must walk in His Word. Colossians 1 and verses 3 through 6 says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." They entertained a hope of being in heaven. Where did that hope come from? It came from hearing the word of truth. And what was the source of that truth? It was the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has come to you as it has come into all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you, since that day that you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Well, you could preach a sermon on that, couldn't you, Grant? You could preach a sermon on knowing the grace of God in truth. There are a lot of people that are claiming the grace of God for their salvation, but they don't know the truth concerning grace. They've misrepresented God's grace. They've perverted God's grace and their concept of God's grace. Says here of the Colossians that they heard and knew the grace of God in truth. And because they heard the grace of God in truth through the true gospel of Jesus Christ, they entertained this valid hope of heaven. I am the way. I am the truth. And we must be in this way. We must be abiding in this word of truth also. 2 John, the first two verses, says, "The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever." Look how much emphasis John here in this epistle at the very beginning is basing upon knowing the truth. They know the truth because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Well, if Jesus is the truth and the truth abides in us, then could you not say that Jesus abides in us? Shake your heads this way. Yes. The Word abides in us. His truth abides in us. The essence of Jesus being the Word of God and being truth, when He abides in us, then we are with Him. Notice also as you come down to verse 4, it says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. I rejoice greatly that I have found some walking in truth as we have received commandment. It's not a perverted truth. It's not a compromised truth. It is the pure truth of God's Word, just as God has given us the commandment in the Scriptures. We haven't changed it. We haven't altered it. It's just as it was delivered to us. And therefore, we are walking in truth and have every reason to rejoice because we are in the way with Christ, that way of truth. We are where Christ is when we're walking in the truth. To be where Christ is, we must be in the life of Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we must be in that life also if we are going to be where Christ is. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, "The bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." He who comes down from heaven gives life to the world. Who is that? That's the Word of God made flesh. He gives life, spiritual life. Calls us from the deadness and the separation that's the result of our sin, calls us out of that and into life with Him. John chapter 1 and verse 4, that Word that was in the beginning with God, in verse 4 it says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." It's interesting to me how that in Scripture, that when we're talking about light and life, so often we're talking about the same thing. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In John 8 and verse 12, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have," now watch it, "the light of life." Now we had life and light, now we have light and life. I just find it interesting. For us to be in the way with Christ, to be where He is, His life must be in us. His light must be in us. 1 John chapter 1, the first four verses says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes." Here's John the Apostle saying, we've heard Him literally. We have seen Him literally with our eyes. We have looked upon Him literally. Our hands have handled Him literally. Concerning the Word of life. Notice the word here is capitalized. That indicates that we're not just talking about words, we're talking about the Word that was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. We're talking about deity. We're talking about the Son of God. The Word of life. The life was manifested. That means it was demonstrated. It was made seen. And we have seen, and we bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. What's John saying? We are an eyewitness of Jesus of Nazareth. And we know that he was more than just a man. He was not simply Jesus of Nazareth. He was indeed and in fact the Word of life made flesh. He's the Word of God made flesh. He gave us light. He gave us life. And we live in him. We declare that eternal life to you through him, because of him. We saw him before he was crucified. We saw him after he was crucified, after he was raised from the dead. We saw him, we handled him, we heard him. We're declaring to you that he is, in fact, the Word of life. As we turn over to Romans chapter 6, in the first 11 verses, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? How do we know about the grace of God? How do we know that God acted in a way that he wasn't obligated? We didn't do anything that obligated God to save us. What was it that kind of brought about the fact that we saw the grace of God? Well, it was our sin. We sinned. We sinned. We separated ourselves from God. But God acted in such a way that we could be saved, that we could have life. That instead of experiencing the death and separation of our sin, we can be redeemed and reconciled and brought back to life in Christ. Well, maybe we should just continue to sin then and let the grace of God be continued to be demonstrated. Certainly not. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in sin? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Death implies a separation. If you were baptized into Jesus Christ, then you were baptized into a separation from sin. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death. Why? That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Jesus is the life, and we walk in newness of life with him. When do we start that newness of life? When we obey him in baptism. When we are buried with him in baptism, we lay the man of sin to rest, and we rise to walk with him in newness of life with him. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, why did Jesus die? Jesus died to take away sin. Why were we baptized? For the remission of sins. If we were baptized in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is, that old man of sin is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Not that we should continue in our sin, but to do away with our sin. That we should no longer be slaves to sin or serve sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. If you're separated from sin, you don't have to sin anymore. You're free from that. You're not a slave to sin any longer. You're not a servant of sin any longer. You separated yourself from sin. You made a decision to die to sin. You don't have to serve sin anymore. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing this, that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For the death that he died unto sin once. But the life that he lives unto God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead, indeed, completely to sin, but alive to God, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Don't sin anymore. That's what he's saying. Don't sin anymore. You're not a servant of sin. You're a servant of righteousness. Stop sinning. Who's he writing this to? Christians. Christians, stop sinning. You're dead to sin. You're alive in Christ. Live for Christ. Live with Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Participate in His life. He who died is freed from sin. If we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. He died to sin once for all. That's what He's saying here about us. Consider yourself to be dead to sin once and for all time. Don't sin anymore. That's what Romans chapter 6 is all about. You're in life with Christ. Walk in that life with Him. I want you to be where I am, Jesus said. Where are you? Where are you going? I'm going to my Father. You know how to get there. How? Me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. So if we are in the way with Christ, if we are in the truth with Christ, if we are in the life of Christ, we're on our way to being in the presence of the Father forever and ever and ever. Are you? Are you in the way with Him? Have you turned from your sins to confess Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of mankind, to be baptized for the remission of your sins and rise to walk with Him in newness of life? Are you serving Him and living to the praise of His glory in your life? Is your life and His life one and the same? Are you walking in the way with Him? If not, why not? Why not start tonight? And if you're here tonight and you're a child of God and you said, yes, I've done all that, but I haven't continued to walk in the way. Let us pray with you and for you. James tells us, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we will confess our sins. He tells us in 1 John, if you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.